You've heard that time is money. Well, consider this an investment on a way to building wealth that's always right on the money. We're sitting down with local experts that all have a mind for money.
Hello and welcome to A Mind for Money with Citizens Bank. My name is Timmy Standifer, and as always, I am your host. And today with me, I have Eric, and we're going to be talking all about the exciting world of taxes and what it means for you as an individual. We're going to be mostly looking as an overview of personal taxes and maybe some situations to look out for. Eric, thank you for coming in here today.
My pleasure. It's an exciting week for taxes.
Yeah. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and your history of what you've done in working with taxes and accounting?
Sure. I'm an enrolled agent, which means I can practice before the IRS. I've been doing that since 1978, so a while. I started and owned East Troy Tax Service for a number of years and transferred the ownership to Dawn Cloth a couple years back, and now I work for her. So the business keeps going, which was my number one thought. I love taxes, and I'm really excited about the IRS being funded finally again. Which is something that's just gone downhill for the last 15, 20 years.
And yeah.
That's not good for anyone.
Yeah. So, we'll have a great resource here with us today to talk about taxes and what it means for you as an individual as you go through life and think about getting yourself ready for tax season, even though it may be kind of far away for a lot of people right now. There's always is never a bad time to make sure that you are ready for your taxes when they come up. It's a lot of making sure that you are prepared for when the taxes come. So taxes, they're a sure thing, and we want to talk about ways to avoid unpleasant surprises when it comes to taxes and your both state and federal taxes. So what are some of the situations, Eric, that are good to keep in mind as you go through your year to try to avoid some of those unpleasant surprises come tax time?
Okay. I would say the number one thing is if something comes in the mail that says important tax document, don't throw it away.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised how many people either do that or don't open it because, it might be bad news. Whether it's good or bad news, it's important to open it. A lot of those things have a timely response time for them. Mm-hmm. So that would be one thing. I would say, in addition to keeping, your documents throughout the year, especially if you have major asset purchases, a house or even a car, stocks, things like that, keep those records separate. With the tax material, so you don't have to go looking for them at tax time.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the other things that comes up a lot. People are always saying, how long should I keep stuff? Maybe we were going to talk about that later. But certainly you need to keep tax records for at least 5 years, everything, because that's how long state returns are open.
Mm-hmm.
And if it involves something that you bought that you might sell later that's going to be a capital gain item, you want to keep those indefinitely.
Yeah.
So if it's just your normal, wage statements and things like that, 5 years is fine.
But, yeah.
So those would be the main things, I think.
Yeah. And so one of the things that everyone who works and receives a W-2 wage has to consider is withholdings on their income. So there's different ways you can go about doing that. And what would happen if you had either, too much withheld from your pay throughout the year or too little withheld from your pay throughout the year and now it's tax time?
Okay. If you had too much withheld, you'd be a happy camper because you get a refund. Never a problem with that. Some people say, will I get in trouble if I have too much? No. If you have too little, maybe. There are thresholds for both the feds and the state for how much you can owe when you file your taxes and not be in a penalty situation. But it's uncomfortable, and nobody wants to be in that situation where you have to write a check or go find the money or, God forbid, borrow the money to pay those taxes. So it's best to have withholding throughout the year to cover the income.
Yeah. So you would typically recommend to withhold on the higher side and err on the side of having
absolutely
more than enough withheld rather than have to pay into the taxes at the end of the
always
year?
Always better to have a good surprise than a bad one.
That's so true. Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. And, you know, when you're looking at filing your tax returns, I know there's a lot of different products out there, different companies offering ways to file it, quickly or, just with a snapshot of W-2s or something like that. When do you think that someone should seek out professional expertise when they're filing their tax returns? What kind of situations do you think people should get in an accountant or someone involved in?
I think the line that I would draw was if you've got anything that you don't understand, which usually is investment stuff, partnership information, K-1s from a partnership or an S-Corp, K-1 from an estate. If you have a relative that dies and you get a strange document that you've never seen before, it's not one that you want to throw away. It's not one that you want to ignore. And it's probably one that you don't want to deal with without some help.
Yeah.
So that would be one line. If you have a major change in your life, if you get married, you have kids, buy a house, whatever, that might be the time to check into, depending on how comfortable you are with your tax situation. I mean, a lot of people get a W-2 form in the mail, that's it, or they get a pension statement, and that's it. Those people probably don't need a professional at all, and one of the really exciting things, can I do a plug for the IRS?
Sure, go for it.
One of the really exciting things that they plan to do with this windfall that they finally got from the IRA bill is create a real IRS e-file site where individuals like you or I could go on and do our federal and state tax returns.
Yeah, and just file directly rather than going
through. And just file directly. And that would be major because there are so many people who have relatively simple taxes. They used to fill out a form and mail it. Well, that doesn't work real well anymore because they've had enough people to open the mail for years. So if that really happens, it would be great.
Yeah.
It'd be a benefit for all of us and a really good way to spend some of that money.
Yeah. So if you have more simple income, like you said, just W-2s, maybe some pension statements or some light investment statements, a lot of that can be done through the resources of filing by yourself or a lot of, lots of small companies out there that or do small taxes for cheap or something like that. But yeah, it sounds like if you have more complicated things going on, whether it's a business, estate, big life event, seeking a professional is a good idea. I mean, it may cost some money, but there may be some savings in it for you as
absolutely.
Well, correct?
Yeah. You, it's not a place you want to save money, by saying, oh, I've got a neighbor, who can do my taxes, can help me with them. Yeah, maybe, but you also may shoot yourself in the foot. And you pay for what you get to some extent. Mm-hmm. And if what you need is help, you should get the best you can garner and pay for. So
that makes a lot of sense. So speaking of some of the more corner cases that people would go to an accountant for some advice on, something that I hear a lot as a mortgage lender is people asking the question of the tax benefits of doing something as a loan versus paying cash. Can you talk a little bit about some situations where maybe it would be beneficial or maybe it wouldn't be beneficial to consider a loan versus just paying cash for something?
I would say they're very few and fewer every day as interest rates go up. The bottom line for someone who has the option to not borrow would be, can I make more on my investments than I'm going to pay in interest? The deductibility is not an issue anymore.
Okay.
Mortgage interest would be the exception to that, but even there, a lot of people aren't able to to deduct their mortgage interest anymore, just because the standard deduction is so high.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you can make more, if you say, well, I can make 10% in my investment account, sure, go ahead and borrow the money at 4 or 5%.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a 0% car loan, great, you know, take it. Because if it's really 0%, you've won, and, you know, and you can put the money in the bank in the meantime, probably your bank.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And so I know you touched a little bit on things you can do to make sure that when it comes tax return time, things are easier for you, like making sure you hold on to anything that says important tax document and keeping it all filed and holding it for long term enough. But what would you say are some good practices when it comes to preparing your returns and, you know, getting yourself not only getting ready, but then, you know, timing wise, starting looking into doing all that stuff each year?
Generally, you should have by the middle of February all of the documents that you're going to get. There's some strange, you know, corporate K-1s and maybe an estate K-1 that you wouldn't get until later. But most people are going to have their tax documents by the middle of February. So you can go by your prior year's tax returns and say, okay, I had this and this and this. If you're missing one of those, you better go find it. More companies now are not mailing W-2 forms. Mm-hmm. They're sending you an email that says, oh, you can go to the website and find this yourself. There are documents, if you have kids in college, that you're going to need from the registrar's office, and they're not going to mail them out to you. You know, and they're also not going to let you have access. So your son or daughter that's in college is going to have to go to their account, find that information, and print it out, and then dutifully give it to their parents for the college credits. So it's a matter of getting your ducks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And prior year information definitely helps. And then say, what, you know, did I do anything really different this year?
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, that all is really good advice, and I'm sure this is something we'll keep mentioning a little bit here, but it really sounds like making sure you are getting yourself ready before you want to file your taxes is the key, rather than kind of last-minute scrambling to get everything. And
for some things, that's a requirement, like contributions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you make a contribution over $250, you're required to have a contemporaneous receipt.
Yeah, and you're talking a contribution to like a retirement account or a charitable contribution.
Charitable contribution. I should have been more specific. So you can't wait until January and say, oh, yeah, I gave that $500 to the church. I need to get a receipt for that. The regs are that you have to have a contemporaneous receipt. And as dumb as it sounds, there are people who have had them just thrown out because they didn't have that.
Yeah.
You know, they reconstructed it. The church treasurer said, oh, yeah, I've got a record of it here, or whatever. You know, doesn't meet the regs.
Yeah.
So you have to be a little knowledgeable and careful about things like that.
Yeah, and that is one of the things that, like you said, if you are going through a major life change, maybe you don't need a tax expert every year, but maybe once in a while when you have some major changes or you're doing something different with your finances, going to a tax professional every however many years, they can help remind you of these things to keep in mind and look out for, maybe places you could be getting more deductions or things that you were supposed to be filing that maybe you're not. And let's say, you know, I have been filing incorrectly, or I filed incorrectly, the wrong number, maybe I didn't meet the deadline, filed late, or forgot to put something on there that I wanted to include on my tax return. What happens in those types of situations? And is there any way to fix it and adjust those?
Can absolutely fix it. You have 3 years for the federal to go back and fix it. And whether it is worth fixing it is the first thing you have to look at. For the state, you actually can go back 5 years.
Okay.
So sometimes somebody's got something really bad that they, you know, just omitted, take it back 5 years for the state and then pick it up for the final 3 years for state and federal. Amended returns can be filed electronically, the same as regular returns, up to a point. I think the feds now allow you to do two prior years electronically.
Okay.
And they're working their way toward the third.
Okay.
But the state will let you go all the way back. And it's a relatively simple process for both of them.
Okay.
Well, I say that having done them for 40 years or so, but it's not the worst. And if it makes sense to do it, why not?
Yeah.
You know, so if you've left out, you know, your property taxes, say, and that would have made a difference on federal and state, or you said, well, I can't itemize, so I'm not going to do anything with this, and you've given up that $300 credit on your state return for maybe 5 years. Well, you can go back and pick up $1,500. Adds up pretty quickly. Yeah. So,
what about on like the flip side of it? Like, I did something incorrectly, and it's not a good thing. Like, you filed too late, or you're not, you know, stating all your income properly, and you maybe forgot to add. You have a second job, and you forgot to put your wage for that second job, or something like that. And what can happen if you don't file that correctly?
Yeah. If it's something like the second wage, second W-2, it's going to get caught 100% of the time. So you should definitely fix that, you know, as soon as you can, because there's going to be interest for it. Maybe penalties, depending on the size of it. But you're always ahead if you self-report and fix it. Other things that there isn't a trail for, you know, I would say, you should fix it so you can sleep better at night. But, you know, realistically, there are things that are never going to get caught.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's a system that depends on voluntary compliance. And that's why we need a few audits every once in a while to make sure that there is compliance. But, but if it's something that's you've just plain missed, you know, like the K-1 from an estate or something like that, need to get that fixed as soon as you can.
Yeah, because the IRS and federal government get sent the copy that you received. Like,
exactly.
Like when you get a K-1 or a W-2 at the end of the year, the entity that generated that and sent that to you also sends that to the government.
Bingo.
So easy for them to catch that.
Yeah, there are a few things like the state of Wisconsin only charges 12% interest if you owe them money and you file it late or you do an amended return. If you self-report, if they find it and they say, you know what, we got this from the feds and it doesn't seem to be on your return, then the interest rate is 18%.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it really makes sense to deal with it as soon as you can.
Yeah.
And feel better about it too.
Yeah. And can you think of any items that people don't receive regularly that they should remember affects their taxes and their tax returns? Like you said, I know you mentioned stuff about their kids from school or maybe, you know, something from like a grant or situations like that. Are there things that you run into decently regularly enough that most people don't have happen to them every year that they should make sure to look out for as they go through life that will affect their taxes?
You'd be surprised how many people forget that they had a new kid. I mean, I would say that comes up at least 5 or 6 times a year in our office. We'll be going through and we say, you know, that little critter that you're carrying there? And they go, oh, yeah. You know? So that's one thing. And along with kids come, you know, daycare expenses, possibility for deductions for that or credits for that. The child tax credit. Wisconsin has a private school credit for kids that go to private or parochial schools. Mm-hmm. So there are just a lot of things that you need to sort of think about at tax time. And we talked about going to a professional periodically. And one of the things that we've experienced is people come in and say, well, I just want to see how I've been doing, kind of. And so we do their taxes and maybe have to amend a few years or maybe not. and then when they're all finished, they go, I think I'll be back next year. You know, it's so much easier to have someone, you know, who makes their living and it's their job to ask those questions and try to ferret out that information. And it changes every day. That's the other thing.
Yeah, so. Tax law changes. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Job security.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. With that, we're just going to get into a couple do's and don'ts here about some of the things we talked about taxes and filing them and when you should maybe talk to an expert. I would say the first do is remember the taxes are a sure thing. They're going to happen every year. So try to stay informed of changes, but more so try to keep on top of everything you're going to need to file your taxes. Eric said, something that goes along with that is don't throw away anything that says important tax document. Don't throw away your tax returns when you finish them for the year. Make sure to hold on to them for, like Eric said, probably at least 5 years, longer if you have the space. Sometimes you might want to go back and refer to something else. You never know. I would say do assess your situation every so often. And if you've had some drastic changes in your life, consider going to a tax professional. Have them look at what you have currently for this tax year. And as Eric mentioned, maybe look back at your last couple of years and see if they can find amendments that could help you or maybe save you money. Or if you've been doing something wrong and it hasn't gotten caught yet, amend it for you so that it's not getting caught and getting right. punished for it. And then I would say, don't ever think that you have to go it alone. Don't think that, it's not worth finding a tax professional if you have questions. You can find a lot of good resources online, but there's a point where you're not going to find all the answers you need, and a tax professional is really going to be the way to get the answers you need and get your taxes filed correctly. And with that, we'll just go over some closing thoughts here. Taxes are complicated and they're ever changing. The laws are ever changing. So yeah, do your best to stay up to date to them. Eric, do you have any final thoughts or on anything we talked about?
I would hope if people have tried to call the IRS in the last couple of years and got no one at the taxpayer assistant numbers, that will change. Mm-hmm. That's one of the very first things the IRS is going to spend money on. They answered, the final stats were fewer than 1 out of 10
oh, wow.
phone calls got answered last year. And probably some of those 1 out of 10 didn't get an answer that was correct. So the IRS is working on that, and hopefully going forward, when you call taxpayer assistance, you'll actually get some taxpayer assistance.
Yeah, that's the hope of that, you know.
Yeah, it would take a lot of calls away from our office.
Yeah, that's true. If you have any questions or feedback on this episode, or if you have any questions that we could maybe answer in a future episode, like an episode suggestion, feel free to reach out to us. So you can email me directly at heytimmy@amindformoney.com. That's heytimmy@amindformoney.com. And with that, Eric, I thank you so much for coming in and chatting with me today about taxes and everything involved there. And we also thank you for watching and hope you have a great rest of your day.